go into my echo chamber and whine and moan to people I knew about the same things I've been whining and moaning about for 20 years. And it was just exhausting. Couldn't do it anymore.
Hey there, I'm Julie, and welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenge their perspective, and instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open, and they're glad they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it too, because there is so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, more clarity about our own views. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here's a story about finally being willing to listen, really listen to the other side. I'm joined by Brian Parrish, who's host of the podcast Parrish the Thought. Brian, hey, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I found your show to be on here.
It's my pleasure. I'm so happy that you reached out. We love it when listeners reach out. Let's actually dive straight into the moment in your life when the story that you're going to share with us took place. It revolves around your political beliefs and the way you were engaging with them. So what were your beliefs at the time and habits?
Well, I was raised in very conservative Northern California. I know that seems like an oxymoron because people don't think anything is conservative that comes out of California, but it is. So I had been raised with those values, that media, Fox, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, that's all I consumed for 20 years. And it was right around the time when Obama won. And I was in this Facebook discussion group with some friends, and there was a guy in there that I'd never met. And he was very articulate and bouncing or just attacking everything that I might have said that I thought was right. And he was doing it in such a way that I'm like, wow, this guy's really articulate. I don't think I can beat him. So I would just ignore or be frustrated. I was very frustrated all the time because I'm like, I can't beat this guy.
So he had opposite views of yours.
Extremely opposite views. And I thought everything he did, I thought it was from Satan. Because I was taught that.
So were you in the habit, Brian, at this time of really getting into it in the comments? Like, you know, debating, throwing bombs? Like, was that your MO?
I wasn't a jerk about it, but I would say, well, I don't think that's right. I don't think, you know, you're wrong here. But in reality, I didn't know. I was othering. You know, I felt like I had to protect my family from the evils of the left. So I didn't want to hear anything. And I was very closed off to any discussions, didn't want to talk to anybody, and it just became exhausting, actually, to be that way.
Exhausting how?
Because nothing was solved, nothing was changed, there was no resolution to anything, it never seemed like. I was just frustrated, and I would go into my echo chamber and whine and moan to people I knew about the same things I've been whining and moaning about for 20 years, and it was just exhausting. Couldn't do it anymore.
So was there something different about this particular poster who was in this discussion group, somebody you didn't know, but was he expressing his views opposite to you in a way that felt different or that?
He was articulate and he wasn't a left-wing bomb thrower. The guy could back up everything he was saying. And I didn't know if he was telling me the truth or not, but he was so articulate and so well-versed and he chose his words carefully. So I'm like, oh, there's something here. Maybe I should listen. Maybe I don't have all the answers. That's when I started thinking like that.
So this takes us then to this moment where you choose to do something different. Sounds like it was driven partly by just sort of exhaustion. Like what I've been doing for 20 years isn't working. Also, this guy's really articulate and he's doing it differently than I'm used to seeing. Was there anything else in that happened in that moment that caused you to make a different choice than you had been making?
Probably not in that moment, but that was the catalyst to make me start asking different questions and thinking differently. And I have a brother who's been working for the California State University system for almost 30 years. So very liberal environment. He was raised conservative also. So I'd bounce these things and my frustrations off or of frustrations with him. And he would say, well, hey, did you think about this? And because I respected and trusted him, I listened because I you know, obviously he's my brother. I trusted him and he said, well, think about it this way. And maybe there's another angle to this. And I started thinking, hey, maybe there's two sides to everything we're seeing on the media and in the world. So maybe start listening to people and start talking to people and just to understand them. And that began the whole, you know, trying to lean into that discomfort, not trying to win, learning from someone else. And because I know that sometimes if we feel like if we talk to the enemy, then we're giving up our own values. And I just don't think that's the case anymore. Now I seek out people that on the surface might, I know that we might have a different opinion because I want to learn. I don't care about changing people's minds anymore. I just want to learn what's in their mind.
Yeah. So, I mean, so is that what you did? You actually started seeking people out who you disagreed with, who normally you would have felt threatened by their beliefs.
And I started my podcast 6 years ago, and I had this same guy, Kenny, he calls himself the liberal atheist geek. So self-proclaimed. So I've had him on my show 3 times to talk about topics that I don't understand, but in my conservative mind, I thought were wrong.
This is the same poster, the guy who was posting on Facebook in that group that initially had you feeling like, I can't compete with this, but also I really disagree with what this guy.
Kind of the you can't beat him, join him mentality. Huh. I don't want to be angry anymore inside. So let's invite this guy into my living room. Not literally, but I've never met him in person. So bring him on and talk about all these, you know, quote unquote leftist ideas. And let's find out what's really there for the sake of understanding and finding out what it is and his perspective and the left's perspective and try to educate some of my conservative people, I guess.
I guess, and yourself? I mean, how did that feel for you going into that environment where you invited him into your podcast home and then sort of had to stay open in that exchange?
Well, at the very least, I wasn't so angry at him because I got to meet him, see that he's a human. He's got experiences and things that have happened in his life that have led him to the conclusions that he has. It broke down some walls and some barriers that I was, you know, the angst that you have when you're, you know, I got to hang on to my, you know, don't get inside my head and expose things. It was freeing. And a funny analogy that I use is in the movie The Grinch with Jim Carrey at the very end, where he's happy and his heart's growing and he starts crying and he says, I'm leaking, because he's so happy. That's how I can describe the position that I've had in the last 5 years by not trying to win, just trying to understand. And I've been accused of being soft and you're just weak and you're lazy because you don't want to pick a side because we're at war. But I'm a lot happier, I think, than a lot of these people that are just frustrated all the time. And in the years since we've done that, he has actually reached out to me sometimes and is like, hey, what do the conservatives think about this? And I can, you know, I always have my theories. And at one point he got frustrated. He's like, I'd like to do an interview with you. What are you passionate about? And I wasn't passionate about much about other than getting along with people. And he says, come on, you got to pick a side. We're at war. So I think I just disappointed him.
So that first time you spoke or saw each other across the Zoom screen, do you remember anything that surprised you as that began to unfold?
How nice he actually was. Like I said, he was very articulate in his words, but to talk to him, I was nervous. I was really nervous because I'm like, oh, I'm going toe to toe with this guy. It's like, you know, I write my poems on a napkin and I'm going against Shakespeare. That's how I felt. I was really felt like, ooh, this is a David and Goliath kind of situation. And started asking him questions and just letting him talk. Because in the past, I would have tried to defend or make excuses. And I just listened. Weird concept. We've kind of forgot, but just listening.
It's deceptively challenging, though, especially when you're hearing things that you really disagree with or that feel like they threaten a perspective that kind of goes to the core, challenges your worldview or your sense of who you are, your you know, self-confidence, your self-esteem.
Yeah. Well, and now hearing things, if I disagree with it, I ask myself, why? Why do I disagree with that? Is it because that's been programmed into my brain my whole life? Why do I disagree with it? Because I was told to? Or is there a deeper reason? And try to learn about that. So it's just self-introspection is really helpful.
But did you change your position or did you change his mind at all?
No. Well, I changed mine. I think he's still as extreme left as he ever was. I'm center now. I try to look at issues as the idea. One of the first podcasts I had him on, we were talking about how, you know, we can discuss and bash ideas, but maybe not people. Let's not bash the people. Let's talk about the ideas all day long because those are inanimate things and nobody's getting hurt by saying, well, that's a bad idea. It's not your idea. You might like it, but it maybe not be your idea, but it might be a bad idea. So yeah, Yeah, it's a much better position, and I'm a lot happier.
What do you do when you try to go into one of these conversations and you're met with a lot of heat, a lot of anger, a lot of bomb throwing, you know? Like, you're there to learn. It sounds like they're maybe not necessarily on the same page. Have you found anything that works for you to try to stay in conversation? Yeah.
Asking questions. And if the person is not interested in learning, then asking questions will seem like a threat. But if they are, then it's you've opened the door for a conversation. And again, at the very least, that person may go away feeling heard. But just finding out, tell me about that. Tell me how you... So tell me, Mr. Trump flag waver, why do you love him? And I've done that a couple of times, and people get... You can see them digging in their heels, like they're ready to go to battle. But it's odd that asking a question would be threatening, but it can be. So that's my weapon. You can all steal it, asking questions.
Brian Parrish is the host of the podcast Parrish the Thought, and you can connect with him on Instagram at Parrish the Thought Podcast. Brian, thank you so much for sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
And thank you for getting uncomfy with us today. I'd love to hear about a stick with it moment you've had recently, maybe even with someone on social media, which granted is generally not the best place to try and have productive conversations about politics. But sometimes it can be a place to notice how people express themselves and connect with someone like Kenny, who seems like they'd be a good conversation partner, maybe offline or outside of the comment thread. Somebody who could help you see a different perspective a little more clearly. Tell me how you're getting uncomfy. Drop a line to uncomfy@byu.edu. And be sure to check out my other podcast, Top of Mind, where we explore tough topics in ways that can help us practice staying open and curious when facing challenging perspectives. You can find Top of Mind on Spotify, YouTube, or Apple Podcasts. It's a great companion to Uncomfy, so I'd love to have you add it to your queue. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it, and the team includes Enrique Prado, James Hoops, and Sam Payne. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. Hey, Uncomfy listeners, it's Julie here. Quick recommendation for you. Have you heard of this podcast called The Apple Seed? It's another BYU radio program. And this show is all about stories, folktales, fairy tales, personal anecdotes, family tales. Whether you're on a road trip or you're just looking to wind down at bedtime or keep the kids occupied, The Apple Seed is perfect for the whole family. My favorite are the family tales. We've all got these stories in our families that we tell and pass down from kids to the grandkids to the great-grandkids. I love those stories. And the best part about The Apple Seed is that the stories you hear might actually inspire your family to start sharing more of those tales with one another. So give The Apple Seed a listen. You can find it anywhere you get podcasts.